Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 19, reading through verse 7 of chapter 4. This is God's word. "Why then was the law given? It was added for the sake of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise was made would come. The law was put into effect through angels by means of a mediator." Now, mediator is not just for one person alone, but God is one. "Is the law therefore contrary to God's promises? Absolutely not. For if the law had been granted with the ability to give life, then righteousness would certainly be on the basis of the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin's power so that the promise might be given on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Now, I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We've said before that as we read this, we want to keep the larger context in mind. The Galatians, when they got this letter from Paul, didn't say, "We're going to read a little bit each week and then eventually get back together and kind of summarize." I mean, they read this through as one letter, so should we. But when we go to try and teach on it or expound on it, that's what expository preaching is about, then we have to sort of break it down into smaller segments unless you'd like to be here for about, 12 to 20 hours. I'm game if you are. But as we study this, as we look at it, what we're trying to do, having read the larger picture, now we're trying to go back and realize that God is so great, he packed all kinds of richness into every part of this. And that's why we look at it a little bit at a time. That's why we're looking at the segment we are today. But we can't really get this segment properly unless we again look at the larger picture. What was going on in Galatia? There were believers, people who had trusted Jesus, they had been saved, and they were happily following Christ. God was doing signs and wonders among them, amazing things that Paul references in the verses we looked at last time. And yet, some folks came down from Jerusalem and said, listen, sorry to break up the party, but actually they weren't sorry. They said, in order to really be right with God, you can't just believe in Jesus. You've got to keep the law. And to start with, we're going to have an initiation party where all the men are to be circumcised. Well, the Galatians were so eager to do whatever they had to do in order to be reconciled to God that it was like, how about next week? Okay. I want to do whatever I have to do, but let me get back to you on this. And they were wrestling with, do we accept circumcision or not accept circumcision? Paul gets word of this and he writes to them and he says, guys, who has bewitched you? How in the world are you falling for this? You're being sold a bill of goods. And he says something that is so extreme that it should wake us up. He says, I tell you the truth, if you accept circumcision from these people, you're cut off from Christ. That's not a minor surgical procedure you're having. You are being cut off from Christ. Whoa. What do you mean? Are you saying circumcision is a bad thing? Paul says circumcision is nothing. Trying to earn your salvation means you're not saved. If you think salvation is something you earn by doing the right stuff, then you are not trusting in Jesus. And the only way anybody is going to be saved is by Jesus. He is our hope. It's not what we do. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a rescue mission. He came to us, did everything necessary for our salvation, cried out from the cross, "It is finished." He used an accounting term that means the debt is paid in full. And folks, when the debt is paid in full, you are wasting your money if you go to the bank and try and give them some more. Is that clear? So if Jesus is to be trusted, you stop trying to earn what he's already paid for. Okay? Don't insult God thinking that you are being holy. You're not. Trust him. Rely on him. Realize that his love for you is so great, he didn't say, I'll help with that. He paid the whole thing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? That's what he did. That's what Paul is trying to tell them all through this. But what about the law? I mean, it is God's law. Isn't the law a good thing? Yes, the law is a good thing. Well, then, why then was the law given? Now, Paul doesn't say everything I'm about to say in this passage, but he does in the larger context. So let me give you the first reason that the law was given. The law was given so that we would realize we have a problem. Okay? The law was given because it reveals our sin. If I go to the doctor and they draw some blood, and they say, your cholesterol is 463. Thank God they haven't said that, but if they did, that wouldn't fix my problem Okay? I wouldn't say, oh, boy, thank you for taking care of that, doctor. You know? He'd say, no. That's just a diagnostic test. You have a serious problem. We need to do something about this. And I'm saying, no. I already had the test. Thanks. I'm good. The law is the diagnostic test. The law is the plumb line. And what it shows us is we're messed up. All of us. Not some of, you know, some people are really just a mess. I mean, do you see those folks over there? They're just a mess. It's not just them. It's us. All of us in our natural, unredeemed, unregenerate state, all of us violate God's law. Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men, said the Pharisee in the story that Jesus told. I do this. Jesus says he's just talking to himself. But Jesus said there was another man who stood in the back, ashamed to even look up. He beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that man went home justified. Why? Because he wasn't trying to justify himself. Folks, we would love for you to come and join us. May 31st and ending Sunday, June 2nd, we're going to be having a marriage retreat for 12 couples. Blue Mountain Mist Country Inn is the romantic location. And you can get more information by going to wvr.org. It'll involve lodging, meals, time to enjoy area attractions, and teaching from God's Word.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Nobody's going to be justified by keeping the law. That is the argument Paul has already made. Now, if that's the case, what then was the purpose of the law? Why was the law given? It was added for the sake of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise was made would come. For if the law had been granted with the ability to give life, then righteousness would certainly be on the basis of the law, we read in verse 21. If it was possible to be justified by the law, then everybody would have to go that route. That'd be the only hope. Well, just do your best. Doesn't work. So we need to realize it isn't possible. If the law had been granted with the ability to give life, then righteousness would certainly be on the basis of the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin's power so that the promise might be given on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ to those who believe. Verse 24, the law then was our guardian until Christ so that we could be justified by faith. In other words, it diagnosed the problem, it showed us our need, it points us to Christ. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. Now, who's he writing to? He's not writing to the world at large. He's not talking to everybody everywhere. He's saying those who are in Christ, those who have received new life, those who are trusting in Jesus. He says, if you're trying to save yourself, you're not in Christ. If you're trying to justify yourself, you are cut off from Christ. But if you are in Christ, you're not just a candidate for glory. You are God's child. Now, as you know, we work here at the ranch with kids who come from a variety of difficult situations. And I believe it would be safe to say that they are not the only ones who can probably look back into their family background and see that there have been some issues, some problems. Okay? All of us are descended from Adam and Eve, the original dysfunctional family. So, I don't know how you feel about who you're a son of, but if you're in Christ Jesus, you have a new father. Your father is God Almighty. Let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about finances when your daddy owns the universe. Okay? Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. Okay? Our inheritance has got to be viewed in the context of what Jesus said to Pilate. If my kingdom was of this world, my subjects would defend me. But this is not what it's about. Can you imagine battling with somebody over a house that was burning down? Okay. It's mine! No, it's mine! No, it's mine! And meanwhile, it's all just getting eaten up with flames. Would that be kind of a waste? Our inheritance is not just a bunch of stuff that all goes away and that we can't take with us anyhow. Our inheritance in Christ Jesus is way better than that. It's way better than that. And it's not something we built. It's something he gives. So we are told, through faith, you're all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Therefore, there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. I've got a preacher friend who, I think he actually sells the t-shirts as kind of a joke. He sells his books too. But he sells these t-shirts that say, God loves us all, but he loves me better. Okay? And it's a joke. It's intended as a joke. But I know some people who think that God's like that. You know? Yes, I know I'm going to heaven, but I really think God kind of regrets it sometimes. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like God looks down at what's going on the earth and he says, okay, yes, you can come too. I mean, that's a sad thing. But a lot of us, because we're still focused on us, think that God is still seeing us in terms of us. When God sees us clothed in Christ Jesus. In 1 John it says, what manner of love the Father has shown for us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Beloved, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, I mean, my nose hasn't finished straightening out, and, you know, I still have, you know, boyish chubby cheeks and that kind of thing. I'm not yet looking fully mature. I don't yet fully resemble Jesus, but I'm becoming more like him. Okay? And someday, when I see him face to face, it's going to be like me. I'm going to be like him. We're going to be like Dad. Jesus is the exact likeness of the Father's glory. That's what the Bible says about him. He is the exact representation of the Father. You want to know what the Father is like? Look at Jesus. You know, I read about all that stuff in the Old Testament, and I just can't relate to that God. But when I read about Jesus in the New Testament, I like that. Jesus is exactly what the Father's like. Well, no, the God in the Old Testament, he killed people. Yes, he did, and you ought to read what Jesus says he's going to do when he comes again. Because guess what? He is going to destroy his enemies. Really? Yep, it's in the book. Multiple times. I don't know that I'm comfortable with that. Well, what are you going to do? Get a transfer to another universe? Okay. I just don't like this. Tough. Sounds to me like you're in for destruction. Okay. I decided a while back that I'm for whatever God wants. Okay. Whatever God wants, that's the way it ought to be. Because guess what? He really is always right. He's always right. And the amazing thing is that when I was his enemy, saying, no, 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 I want to do what I want to do, God, instead of destroying me, sent his son to save me. And he didn't just die on the cross to pay for my sins. He rose from the dead and sent his spirit to change me from the inside out. So that increasingly, now I want to do his will. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And it's not just out of terror, I want to do his will because I don't want to get smitten. I want to do his will because I've increasingly recognized that he is perfect. He's brilliant. Okay? Every manifestation of intelligence in the design of this creation speaks to the brilliance of God. Whether we're talking microbiology or mathematics, it all bears witness to the glory of God. And so, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. You're clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female. None of that stuff matters anymore in terms of your standing with God, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. You are heirs according to the promise. That means there's good stuff coming. God has promised an inheritance which the Bible says is imperishable. That means it can't fade away. It can't be taken by the bank. It can't be distributed to others and robbing you. It's imperishable and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you who are protected through the power of faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. You got it coming, okay? You can bank on it. You can count on it. You can rest in it. You can rest in the fact that Jesus didn't just die so you wouldn't go to hell. He died so that you could share the inheritance with him. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. Well, he must be worth a lot. Yeah. Yeah, he is. Everything. That's why the Bible says all things are yours. It's hard to feel poor after that, isn't it? All things are yours. Now, the law couldn't do that for you. We also were in slavery, verse 3. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Daddy, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. I'm just telling you, God is faithful. He delivers on his promises. He sent his son to save us, not just from hell, but for himself forever. And he doesn't say, okay, you can call me Mr. God. He says, I want you to call me Daddy. Praise be to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.